Unfortunately, many of our sisters bear untold misery and suffer in silence, day in and day out for years on end, having none to turn to besides Allah Ta'ala. Remember, O husband, when that lonely, broken heart cannot tolerate any more, and those hands rise up complaining to none other than Allah Ta'ala, then rest assured that her tears and pain will not go unanswered. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, "Beware of the curse of the oppressed person, since there is no veil between it and Allah Ta'ala." Allah Ta'ala says to the oppressed person, "I will assist you, even though it be after some time." The next point, endeavor to change her habits like carelessness, laziness, etc. with advice and admonition. This must be given tactfully with wisdom and patience. Rule with love and never with the iron fist. It is amongst her rights upon you that you tolerate her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a woman is created from a crooked rib and there is therefore crookedness in her character. If you try to straighten her, you will destroy her. Therefore, take benefit from her together with her crookedness. Look at her good qualities. Endeavor to change her habits like carelessness, laziness, etc., with advice and admonition. This must be given tactfully with wisdom and patience. Rule with love and never with the iron fist. It is among her rights upon you that you tolerate her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a woman is created from a crooked rib and there is therefore crookedness in her character. If you try to straighten her, you will destroy her. Therefore, take benefit from her together with her crookedness. Look at her good qualities. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal and to display good akhlaq and character. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. This ayat is well known to all of us and we understand it also. But may Allah Ta'ala make the reality comes in us. That Allah Ta'ala says that I have not created jinn and mankind, but for my worship, for the abdiyat of Allah, to become the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala has created us, He is our creator. He is the one who has not only made us, He has created us, and He has created us from nothing. At one time, we were not even a thought. Forget any raw material, we were not even a thought anywhere. We were absolutely nothing. And Allah alone, in His full Qudrat, He created us. And any person who has anything, then there is a purpose and object of it. So Allah created us also for a definite purpose and for a definite object. And that is the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, the servitude of Allah, to become the bondsman, to become the slave of Allah, not the servant of Allah, the slave of Allah. For that He created us, that every command of His, that what He gives us, and Allah has made it clear, Allah hasn't given us any command that is beyond us. It is within us, and Allah wants us to fulfill those commandments. To give like an example, we only hire, we haven't created, we only hire somebody to work in the house. For example, to bath the baby, change the clothes, etc. So this is a different subject, we are not discussing that. That also that the mother should do and not leave it even to a Muslim helper. Because the effect that woman, the helper, she is doing it for money, she's come to work for us, and her effects are going to fall on the child. And the mother, when she will do this, that close relationship with the child, even if you're feeding the child, the mother must do that, not leave it to anybody else. Even drinking milk on a bottle, that also the mother must do it, not leave it. The mother's milk is the best, that should be done. So anyway, if another, we hired somebody to do that work, to pass the child, just an example, and gave the clothes, we gave the shampoo, we gave the soap, the perfume, everything we gave. And she brings her child, and with everything that what we gave, she baths her own child, not our child. And she uses all the clothes for her child, the perfume. Nobody would even tolerate to let it happen. But if so, who will ever allow such a thing? So Allah has created us for His ibadat. And everything He gave us, He gave us our brains, our eyes, our hands, legs, all that we use for our own purpose. Not for our boss, not for Allah, not for what Allah has. We won't tolerate it for one moment. Forget just reprimanding or just scolding the person. We will never tolerate it. Just like that, if we hire somebody to wash our car, we give him soap, we give him water, shampoo, everything, whatever is required to wash the car, to do a proper valet, etc. But he brings his car, and he wash, use all our things to wash his car and to clean his car. And he leaves our car. Nobody will even allow us to carry on for a little while. Forget till he finishes his job. How much Allah tolerates us also we have to see. That Allah gave us everything and He made it clear in this ayat also and right in the beginning of the Quran and throughout the Quran Sharif. Where in the beginning Allah says, Ya yuhannasu ubudu rabbakum. That O people, Allah addressing the whole of mankind. Ya Allah say jinn and ins, all of them. All they also Allah say, make ibadat of Allah. Alladhi khalaqakum, He is the one who created you. He is the one who gave you everything. So you should just be worshipping Him. And وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, even those before you. And the great benefit you will get if you will do this, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, you will acquire taqwa. And taqwa is that gift of Allah by which a person becomes a wali, a friend of Allah Ta'ala. The minute a person acquires taqwa, he becomes a friend of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah has created us for His worship, that we make His ibadat. And that was the purpose for us being created. Now unfortunately, the vast majority of mankind, and we don't know about the jinnat, but we know there are a lot of them also who are disobedient to Allah, who don't obey Allah Ta'ala. But about mankind, the majority of mankind don't even believe in Allah Ta'ala. Forget obeying His commandments, etc. And then those that of us who do believe in Him, and we make His, there are many of us who believe in Him, but we don't make His ibadat. We are very, very far from the ibadat of Allah. It is the month of Ramadan, but there may be so many people who do believe in Allah, but they are not fasting. We are not making our namaz. And those of us then, the very small, very, very small percentage who are making Allah's ibadat, but that also we are just doing it by the way. It's not our object. Allah has created us and made His ibadat His object. And this month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we realize we are all in the same boat. We desperately need it, that our object of life is the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, like what we will call a Muslim, good Muslim generally, person who was perhaps born as a Muslim or afterwards he reverted, he accepted Islam, we learnt about Islam, then we carried on with our schooling, perhaps some university, college, we pursued a cause, we did something, or we started business or something, or we became an alim or an alima, which is also quite common. Many alimas become alimas as a cause, a career, and then they teach for money. So the object is really to earn something. It wasn't just for the purpose of gaining that knowledge. More common this is what many alimas, that they learn, or the parents make them go for a course, then they can earn from there. Or even if an alim becomes an alim, hopefully this is not so much still in the alims, they've learned, because we become an alim to learn deen. But if it is just to earn a living, it's a different thing. We take salary, there is nothing wrong with that. It is 100% permissible. But that's not our object, to take a salary, to take a wage. That is not the object. Our object is the khidmat. So if a person does that, and then afterwards, any other profession we did, and we're making our namaz also, we hajj also, everything, sunnats also, and we are doing tabligh also, all also, but we are doing it by the way. We haven't taken it that it's my object of life, that my ibadat and servitude of Allah is to fulfill the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and to stay away from all the prohibitions, which is ibadat, that to do everything what Allah, we make that the object of our life, that I'm here in this world for that, not by the way. And then, by the way, we will earn also. Whatever form of earning is meant for us, we will earn our living also. But that is by the way. And when we make ibadat our object, and all the other things which we call our dunya's life, that is by the way, all that we will make it deen also. Now, our earning our living will also be according to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. We will get married, it won't be just a social function, that we are just getting married and we will do it according to society's norms and how society dictates to us, or our customs in our family or in our community. But now we will do it as ibadat. And so that will also all become ibadat. And if we're just living our life, but then many things we will do, and we think like deen hasn't got a place in there. Like a person wants recreation. Whatever type of recreation he thinks, he doesn't think that I'm here for Allah's ibadat. Even if I want to do this, what does Allah say? How must I do this? We will get involved in sports also. We will get involved in many other things. We'll go for holidays also. Many things we will do. But all that, if ibadat is not our purpose and object, we will do it according to our norms, according to society, etc. Whatever our family, how we are used to it, the customs, the things around us. And if we do it as ibadat, if that is our object, then all these things will say, what are we even in the first place permissible, allowed to do? And when we do it, then also, how must we do it? Shariat, when we are here for Allah's ibadat, then our whole 24-hour life, whole life from birth to death, Shariat has covered it all. And if something is outside that, then it's not part of this ibadat. If we have brought in something from outside, which is not part of it, then that is not part of our ibadat and our obligation to Allah Ta'ala. So to make ibadat the object of our lives, that we are here for the ibadat, the abdiyat of Allah Ta'ala. And it's only right also that Allah is the one who has created us. So we have to make the ibadat of Allah. Nobody else gave us our eyes, gave us our existence, gave us our bodies, all the parts of our body. No one else besides Allah Ta'ala. Not even our parents. Therefore, clearly Allah Ta'ala says, your parents were a major means for you to come into existence. So, وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانَ وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ حُسْنَ All different, Allah Ta'ala has explained, with your parents, a very good relationship. But they also haven't created. If they command you of anything against Allah, or which does not confirm to the command of Allah, then again, Allah is still so kind and loving. Allah could say, then just throw them away then. They are telling you to do a thing against your creator. You know, not only your benefactor, the one who created you, who did everything. And now they're telling you to do something against him. Just throw them away. No, Allah Ta'ala still says, still treat them nicely and in a kind and in a nice way. Now, but don't follow that which is against the commandments of Allah. So if we can understand, this is our ibadah. When we don't understand that, then we will listen to the wife in wrong things. We will listen to our children in wrong things today. And today we say also, before the children used to say, my parents don't listen to me. Today we say, I have to listen to my children also. How much when ibadat hasn't become our object, then all other things. And the world is so open to us today. A person goes on Google and what doesn't he come across there? And all that also we are taking from there and it's affecting us. And we are making that. But when we are the servants of Allah, not the servants, we are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, then fully we have to know what does Allah want from me. So we have to spend our whole lives in the ibadat, not only in the ibadat of Allah, but it is my object of life to make the ibadat of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Everything I do from morning to night, our children when they are born, from birth to death, we have to train them also that we are all the slaves of Allah. Allah has created us. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained one very important and valuable point. All MashaAllah Hazrat's teachings were so valuable. He explained that one of the moral duties of the mother, all her other duties, one of her moral duties is she has to teach the child to be obedient to the father and to listen to the father. Normally it will happen, and it is a fact, that children have more love and feeling for their mother, because the mother feeds them, the mother sees to all their needs, looks after them. So naturally they want food, they run to the mother, they don't run to the father. They want anything, they run to the mother. If the father is to scold them or anything, they will run to the mother. They know the protection is with the mother. So her duty is to say, and the father is usually not at home. He's gone out to work, normal circumstances. Whole day he's out. When he comes home, little while he's with the children, then he goes and sleep also. So, in many cases where fathers don't see their children also. Perhaps on the weekend they will see their children. But they've got such a busy life that they leave early in the morning, perhaps before the children are got up, or the children have gone to school, then the father gets up and he goes to work. And then when he comes back at night, they are perhaps how much little contact there is over supper or at night. And then again he's gone to sleep. So the mother has to teach the child that your father is the one who earns. The father, though he's not here, he sees to all our needs. He sees to this house. He has bought this house. He is paying the rental of the house. Everything he does, I also listen to him. I also take instructions from him. You people also, he is the important person. Because the father is not in the forefront, so the children don't see him. So just like that, Allah Ta'ala is in the ghaib. But for us, Allah send the Quran Sharif, send Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us all the rights of Allah are first, even before the Rasul's rights. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accomplished his mission 100% and with total trustworthiness, with faithfulness, that he did not take credit from himself, but it is for Allah Ta'ala, that Allah has created us. So much so that sajda also, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam declared, not permissible for anyone, not even for Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Sajda will be only for Allah Ta'ala. So we have to also understand this and bring this in our lives and make that the object of our lives. That not that I'm doing deen by the way, or I'm doing it important also in my life. I am fulfilling it. But deen is the object of my life. I'm living for the sake of deen. My existence is because of deen. My existence is to fulfill the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. If we understand that, many things will just fall into place. That who should we listen to? Who shouldn't we listen to? How much do we listen to this person? How much do we listen to that person? Because nobody else has created us. Our eyes, even if our parents were optometrists, both of them, but they can't make the eyes for us. And even with the eye, they can help us if there's something wrong, deficiency, to a certain limit. Besides that, what is in the control of Allah? Nobody. The heart, the cardiologist, both the parents can be cardiologists, but they got no control of their own heart. And the optometrists don't have control over their own eyes also. If they are becoming weaker and weaker, and they're trying everything, but what Allah has determined, only that can happen. So our loyalties, not first, total loyalties, lie only to Allah Ta'ala. And we have to revise this all the time. We have to bring it into us. We are very far from it. Alhamdulillah, and this is also the kindness of Allah, that the deeni activities we do, our namazes, we go for hajj, we go for umrah, we give zakat, we do everything else also. We go in jamaat also, we go in khanqah also, but we haven't made still deen our object. But Allah accepts all that also, and that will be also in ibadah. But really, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, and the Sahaba, that they did not worry of themselves, their families. So much so, that in the battlefield, that even the son says to the father, to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, in the one battle, you were in front, and I could kill you. But seeing you as my father, I did not kill you. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, if you were under me, and if I had control, though being my son, I should not. So how much they made deen the object of their lives. Everything, spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, on the occasion of Tabuk, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says, I swept my house. Everything I brought and I've given it in the path of Allah Ta'ala. We, keeping our dunya also, so much I will keep for myself. So much I expect to use here, so much there. We can't come to that level. But they were those people, the Sahaba, that they went out, Allahu Akbar. In the battle of Uhud, they went, and then those who got injured, when the Quraysh of Makkah were thinking of coming back and launching a second attack, when they had the upper hand over the Muslims, it was the ideal time to just finish them off. Why didn't we? Let us go back again. When the news came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, those who took part in the battle, they must go. There were those who were injured, those whose hands, legs, but they went again. So the deen was in their blood. And today the work of shaitan, our arch enemy, he is our main enemy. And then he uses all his other jailers, all his other agents under him. They have made the deen, you're a Muslim, no problem, you're a Muslim. And another person is a Hindu, another person is a Christian, another person is a Jew. So for prayers you go to your various places, etc. But when it comes to business, then we are business people. Yeah, we are not Muslims or Hindus or Christians. Don't bring your religion in here. When we are on the sports ground, we are all sportsmen now. Now don't bring your religion. How sports people will, what they dictate, how you must dress, what time the match will be, no consideration of any namaz time or anything. It will be all according to that. And if deen was our object, and we made deen, and we made the ibadat of Allah our object, and in all these things, what does Allah say about this? That is this permitted or not? I have to do it according to the command of Allah Ta'ala. So that we have to try and bring more and more within us, and try and deen, not only that I'm pious, I get up for tahajjud, I keep rozas also, I do everything, but I haven't still made deen my object. When I'm a businessman, then I'm a businessman. And unfortunately we have that also, that many people when they're in business, then they don't want to hear about deen. When it's time for deen, then they are fully for deen. When we are gone in jamaat, for example, we are gone for umrah, We are super Muslims. But when we are back again and we are in our with our friends, then we are just living like how everyone else we do everything. But a Muslim, whether even if he goes to the moon, he's a Muslim. Whether no matter what happens in the world can turn upside down. But a person who has brought this in him, and this we have to work for, make dua for, make effort for it. We have to speak about it. Everything we have to do, that I'm here in this world, Allah has created me, I'm the slave of Allah Ta'ala. And I have to worship Allah Ta'ala, and worship ibadat of Allah is not only our namaz, it is namaz also. All our ibadat, zakat, tilawat. Also when we have taken it like this, that the worship of Allah, we have added it. So we'll find that, for example, muamalat, financial matters, deen doesn't come in there. That we just do how we think and we do our business deals. And many, unfortunately, of our business deals don't conform to Sharia. We just do it as we want to do it. Our inheritance matters, it's like haywire. Or all our other financial matters also. Akhlaq, and then mu'asharat. There is no sign of Islam's mu'asharat in our lives. We do everything. In fact, even a learned person, when he wants to get married, he'll go and buy a book from the bookshops and follow that instead of what the Islamic teachings are with regard to this. All these things, we follow their teachings. And we give preference to all their things. Any matter, whether it is a Muslim doctor, a Muslim lawyer, but what he has learned there, that he gives preference to more than the Islamic. So if we realize that Allah has created us, and this is logical and straightforward across the board, not only for us as Muslims, even a non-Muslim, we speak to him also. Who created, who must you listen to? Whose commands must you follow? Every one of us, he who has created us. And then Allah has not only created us, but every split second, in every direction, every department of our lives, only Allah is in control of our lives. So much so that I myself am not control over my life. I'm not in control over my hand. If Allah wishes, Allah protect us all. But a person, his hand starts shaking. And there are so many people who, nobody wants it to happen. But now he can't control it. A person, Allah save us all, loses control over his urine. And urine just comes out any and everywhere. Nobody wants that to happen in his life. But I haven't got control over my own urine also. Everything, my eyes, I haven't got control. Allah is the one who controls everything. So when Allah has created us, Allah controls everything. And only in Allah's hands is whatever Allah has decreed for us. And then our return again is only to Allah Ta'ala. We are not going to return to any. We are not going to come back in this world again. We are not going to return to anyone else, not to Shaitan, who we listen to. He misguides us, he's our enemy, but still we listen to him. We are not going to be returning to our nafs. Nafs also just wants us to do all the wrong and the evil. We will be returning to Allah Ta'ala. Only to Allah Ta'ala. And there again, everything is only in the control of Allah. Who Allah wants to forgive, Allah will forgive. Who Allah wants to punish, he will punish. Everything, and Allah has made it clear. Like for example, from this aspect also, the ni'mat of Jannat, we cannot imagine. How much we have learned, we have studied, we know. But those also are very limited. Allah's ni'mat are far beyond that. And on the other hand, the azab of Allah, what we know, the terrible, terrible, terrible punishments of Jahannam in the qabr, etc. And Allah save us from, if he sends his punishment in this world, man has got no chance whatsoever. The whole world together. One, this virus has come, the world together is helpless. brought the world to their knees with all their technology and all their science and whatever they have got. Allah Ta'ala is in control of it. So we will be returning. So Allah has shown us that His Qudrat of the Namath of Jannat, which we cannot ever imagine, and His Azab of Jannat. So we have to become truly the slaves of Allah. That is the height of intelligence, the height of knowledge, that a person surrenders totally to Allah Ta'ala and realizes that Allah alone, and then practically it must come in our lives also. And that is where even the Sahaba feared, radiyallahu anhum, that we have got nifaq in us. We are hypocrites, because what is required, and we are far. So if we think, when a person doesn't realize this, very easy for him to make a decision that I'm a good Muslim. That I fulfill the why this went wrong in my life. I'm a good Muslim. I do everything. But when we realize this, we'll realize what weak Muslims we are. So much so, like the Sahaba, who can ever reach that level? That they also feared nifaq and hypocrisy upon themselves. Then naturally, we will also feel that what Allah wants from us and where we are. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq that we work in this direction, that and we try and make, mold the minds and the thoughts and thinking of our families also, and the whole ummah at large, and the whole of mankind. This was our duty. Today we didn't go and give them da'wat, they have given us da'wat. And today they made us majboor, that we cannot help it and we have to follow what they tell us. In whatever they command us, the fault was with us, that we didn't go and make them understand that we are all the slaves of Allah, that we all have to listen to Allah, be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And in that, we have got the examples of all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. What length they went to go and speak to the people. They did not fear any whatever those people wanted to do against them. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a tyrant ruler like Fir'aun, and with all his powerful army, but how he stood firm. Every Nuh alayhi salam, with all his people, every Nabi, Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, all, and our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with all the people of the Quraysh, who were in charge. It was their government, it was their country, they were ruling, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam carried on with his mission. In Medina Sharif, the Jews were there, the hypocrites were there, they made an alliance with all the enemies of the then existing world around them to come and crush Islam. But every Nabi, and we are here to follow the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. So this is what we have to try and bring. At least it comes into our mind that we understand. And that we are not, we don't just accept, at least mentally, that we just have to accept now, whichever, wherever we are living, whatever the laws are. No, we are under the laws of Allah Ta'ala. And that is what our object and purpose of life is. So Allah has created us solely and only for His ibadat and for His worship. And everything Allah has given us so that we can fulfill that purpose and object. Our whole life, from morning to night, from our childhood, when we were babies, childhood, teenagers, adolescents, when we went further on, young men, a little bit older, middle age, old age, everything must be only for Allah Ta'ala. And this is our duty, and it is also our duty to make others also understand this, and to try and bring them also to think like this. May Allah Ta'ala bring this realities into our lives, and the month of Ramadan, that we see that Allah Ta'ala, if rozas we are keeping, alhamdulillah, we are obeying the commands of Allah. Taraweeh, 20 rakats we are performing, we are obeying the commands of Allah. It's difficult on a person, not easy. With Sehri, we are getting up, everything we are doing. So like that, the complete, and Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, completely, in every aspect we must go into the submission to Allah Ta'ala. We are submitting, but we are stopping at a point. Everyone at a different point. I think I can go till here, I stop here. I can go till here, I stop here. But to go totally into the submission of Allah. So much so that our desires also, they must be also submitted, and our desires must become the desires of Deen and what Allah wants from us. And the love of Allah, then the love of His Nabi, the love of Quran Sharif, and all the aspects of Deen, love of Masajid, love of all these things must be filled in our hearts. May Allah give us all the proper understanding by His Qudrat. What can we explain? How much can we understand? Allah put it into our hearts. And Allah make us understand and understand matters of Deen properly and live our lives accordingly. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.